Tonight's message is titled, What is Truth? And we want to welcome our online audience. We're so grateful to have you with us here today and to be joining us online. We're so glad that we have the technology that makes this available. And if this is your first time with us, you might be watching us either on Facebook or on our church website, middletownportlandsda.org. You're welcome to subscribe to our channel. We would love to have you join us. And also, I have a YouTube channel called Path of Prophecy, where I produce exclusive content on that channel. And it's getting some attention. Really excited about some of the reactions and responses that are coming about. Just had a video that got out there. Folks got a little excited about it. Some made some good comments. Some made some not so positive comments or whatnot, but that's always exciting that they're commenting. Praise the Lord. That means they're alive and they're watching. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the word of God that we have to open up this evening on these beginning moments of the Sabbath hours. And it's my prayer that as your word is opened, that our hearts would be open to you. I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear and anoint these lips, that what is shared here would advance your kingdom and your cause. And we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is from the Huffington Post an article titled, This is the Hardest Part About Making Difficult Decisions. The hardest part about making difficult decisions. Anybody here ever had to make a difficult decision before? Nobody has ever had to do that, right? Life is just easy peasy for the rest of you folks. Oh my. Well, this is an article by Chad Brooks. It was published a while ago, almost 10 years ago, August 13th, 2014, but very interesting. It says that the best business leaders are daring enough to make tough and oftentimes unpopular decisions. But new research finds the most difficult part of making decisions is not figuring out the right answer. It's having the courage to actually act on that knowledge. According to a study presented at this month's annual meeting of the Academy of Management. So this is some of the latest research. When researchers asked executives about their most difficult decisions, 9 out of 10 did not identify decisions that were complex. Instead, they considered being willing to do the right thing to be the hardest part. In other words, these were decisions requiring courage in the face of some personal, political, or organizational risk. The study's authors wrote, when making these difficult decisions, executives don't need advisors to question the wisdom of making the courageous choice, researchers said. What they need is just the opposite, moral support for resolve in making the tough decision to avoid a temptation. In Margaret Thatcher's vivid phrase, to go wobbly, okay? To go wobbly. And so that leads us to this story in the Gospel of John. We've been focusing, if you haven't noticed already, been focusing all of these messages in the Gospel of John. Very fascinating Gospel account. And this one is found in John chapter 18. It's a fascinating dialogue that takes place between Jesus and Pilate at the trial of Jesus. And so here's John chapter 18, verse 38. Pilate said to him, to Jesus, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Now, to understand this particular verse, we have to step back a little bit and go back. And what was taking place is that Jesus had been arrested, brought to trial before the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas, and Caiaphas had sat in trial over him. And what they did, though, is that they found him guilty, but of course their hands were tied. They wanted to put him to death, but they couldn't. And so what they had to do is they had to bring him to Pilate. And so that's what they did here in John chapter 18, verses 28 and 29. It says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled. How about that? They wanted to put a man to death who was innocent, but yet they were afraid of becoming defiled by stepping into a Gentile palace or governor's mansion or whatever. So they didn't want to be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now Pilate, if you notice, what had happened was that it was early morning. Okay? And when we say early morning, we're not talking about, you know, 6 or 6:30 in the morning. We're talking about 3 o'clock in the morning type time. And so how do you think Pilate was feeling when he was woken from his warm little bed and had to deal with this rabble that was clamoring for attention from him? He was not a happy camper, shall we say. He was not a happy camper. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Now we have to understand, Pilate is experienced at judging people. He's dealt with criminals before. And he's trying to, as he's woken from his slumber and he's rubbing the sleep out of his eyes and, you know, getting his cup of coffee or whatever it is that they gave him to stimulate his mind at that early hour of the morning, he's sizing up this Jesus and he's looking him over real close and he's just scrutinizing him. And like I said, Pilate was used to reviewing criminals before and interviewing them before and trying them and finding them guilty. And he had no problem putting an innocent man to death. Okay? Because it was just expedient for him. He was, "I just want to get back to bed and get on with business. And if this is what's going to make them happy, so be it." So he was, you know, pretty much prepared to do anything at that point. But here's what they said. They said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They responded back. They said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." So right away, they are trying to taint the whole scene. They're already bringing attention to Jesus, and they're saying he's an evildoer. So why don't you just judge him and get on with this? And they're hoping that this thing gets rubber stamped by Pilate, and they can just get on with it. Well, Pilate is no dummy, okay? And he's pretty much one up on what they're doing. And so he responds to them, "Well, you take him and judge him according to your law." All right? But the Jews are one up on Pilate. It's a game of one-upmanship. And the Jews said to him, "Well, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." So that already said what their intention was. They wanted to put this man to death. And this was done so that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he would die. He specifically said, "I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be betrayed into the hand of the Gentiles." Okay? "I'll be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, I'll be put on trial, and I'll be crucified." So Pilate, at this point, he's dialoguing with the Pharisees and with Caiaphas, and but now he's heard what they're saying about Jesus. Now he wants to interview him privately. So the text goes on in verse 33 and 44. It says, "Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and he said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?'" And Jesus is also very wise to the situation. And he doesn't want to, Jesus is thinking very strategically, because ultimately what he's after is winning the heart of Pilate. Not so much that he could go free, but so that he could win Pilate for the kingdom of God. Do you understand? So Jesus answers him when Pilate poses this question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answers him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" In other words, is this your personal question that you have, or are you just being prompted to ask this question because of all of this that's going on. Pilate gets a little impatient at this point. Okay? He says, am I a Jew? And of course, he's not. So he's trying to distance himself from the whole scenario. But he says, am I a Jew? He says, your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? And as I said, Pilate is used to interviewing criminals. And he's asking Jesus at this point because on the surface, he cannot see one thing that would give the remotest attribute that Jesus is a hardened criminal. There's nothing in what Pilate sees standing before him that this man is a criminal. He sees somebody who is at peace. The whole room is in a ruckus. But he himself, Jesus, is at peace at this moment. And it's very striking. It's very arresting. It has captivated Pilate's attention. And so he says, what have you done? And Jesus answers him. And he's doing this to put Pilate at ease so that Pilate can understand that Jesus is no threat to him. He says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here. And so, then Pilate makes this question. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And really, it's almost, I'm not saying this translation is wrong, but the way I would translate it would be, then you are a king. You see? Because Pilate had asked him, are you a king? And Jesus puts his mind at ease. He says, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. And so Jesus is saying that he has a kingdom and that he is a king. But I'm not a threat to you. And so now he has Pilate's attention. And Pilate says to him, then you are a king. Huh. Now he has Pilate's attention. And then Jesus affirms it. He says, you say rightly that I am a king. And for this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And he was speaking one-on-one at this moment with Pilate. He wanted Pilate to understand. Okay? But here's what took place next. Pilate says to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. And that's the position that Pilate found himself in. He had to make a difficult decision, but what we see when we look at the whole story, Pilate lacked the courage to make that tough decision, that executive decision, to go ahead and make that decision no matter what. Because at this point, what happened, it says, when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews. Why? Because they were clamoring for his attention. And so Pilate gave his verdict. He says, I don't find any fault in this man. But yet Pilate lacked the courage. As we're familiar with the story, he lacked the courage to say, I find no fault in him at all, therefore, we're not going to put him to death. Okay? We're not going to crucify him. But Pilate was put in this situation in which he had to keep the peace. He didn't want a riot on his hand, and that's what was fomenting. That's what was developing. But yet he also wanted to protect this innocent man. And he couldn't do both. But he lacked the courage to go through and make that tough decision. He had aspirations for being promoted. But if he allowed a riot to happen, he would have been demoted. And so in Pilate's mind, his career was at stake. He was trying to climb the corporate ladder. Okay. And he ended up using Jesus to step over him to rise on that corporate ladder. But the truth of the matter is that he never was able to resolve the guilt in his mind from this event. And history tells us that he committed suicide. Okay? He was deeply affected by what he did here in putting an innocent man to death. Chad Brooks from the Huffington Post says, "This is the hardest thing about making difficult decisions. When researchers asked executives their most difficult decisions, 9 out of 10 did not identify the decisions that were complex. Instead, they considered being willing to do the right thing to be the hardest part." This was Pilate's challenge. And frequently it can be our challenge as well. The good news is that God wants to be by our side. Okay? And he is just a prayer away for where we have to make these challenging decisions. So at this time, what we're going to do before we have our closing hymn is have our season of prayer. And for those who are online, you can have your own season of prayer. And we're going to take this time out. Pray for our special prayers. Pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pray for workers for the harvest. Pray for those special people that we're praying for, that we can win them to Christ, whether loved ones or people within our own community, our sphere of influence. Pray for our clients. Pray for tomorrow's worship service. We have also a special dinner that we're preparing for some friends over at the Three Angels Church. That will be on Sunday evening. So just a lot of mission work going on. And we just pray that that God will bless in all of these efforts. Dear Father in heaven, thank you that you do not pass us by unless we make the choice to pass you by. That was Pilate's decision. I pray, Father, that in the days ahead that you would give us the courage to stand for the truth, though the heavens fall. Help us, Father, to align ourselves with your will. And it's my prayer that you would strengthen us for the days ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.